Hello, everybody. Oh, not a good start. I promised Chad I wouldn't sing this morning, but I'm dreaming of a white. Finally, we got some snow. I'm, as most of you know, I'm a hockey player, ex-hockey player, so I love the cold. I love the snow, so it's a pretty good morning. Maybe not for all of you. I just met some new people from South Carolina, so I'm sure they're not too pleased with the snow either, but I enjoy the snow. In 2011, it was the spring of 2011, my wife and I were living in the great steel city of Sheffield, England, and it was the twilight of my hockey career, my last spring of playing the game of hockey professionally, kind of transitioning to something new in life, but the people of England were celebrating. Looking back on it, I think maybe they were celebrating that I was finishing playing and they were happy, like, finally, we don't have to watch this guy anymore. But in actuality, they were celebrating a guy by the name of William was getting married to a girl named Kate. And this guy named William was a prince, and Kate was going to become a princess. And the whole country was abuzz. People couldn't stop talking about it. We walked out of our apartment, our flat, as they say in England, and it was everywhere, Will and Kate, this and that. It was on the news. And hockey players in the locker room would never be talking about weddings. But on this occasion in England, our hockey team would occasionally be talking about the wedding of Will and Kate. The country was anticipating. They were looking forward. They were preparing for a royal union. And it was great. And finally, the day did come. I think it was April 29th. The big wedding day, and you could walk out the door and it would be a ghost town. Everybody was either watching the celebration on TV or in London, the central hub of England where everything was taking place. They wanted to be there. They wanted to be a part of the celebration. And it was really quite the ordeal. And I look back on that moment, and I picture that moment, it's how I would expect a major historical event to be. Right, all the pomp, the brashness, the boldness, the celebration of everything. That's how I would write it up if I was writing the script of a major historical event. But yet, as we read this morning, we're reminded that God's ways are not always our ways. In one of the greatest historical events outside of Easter of all time, God chooses to write a different script, one that us humans kind of maybe cause us to shake our head and say, why did God do it this way? It's a story that truly captivates me, and I hope it does for you as well. I'm going to read our passage today. It's Luke 1, 26 through 38. You can follow along in this purple order of worship, or if you have a Bible with you, you can do that as well. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed her. I'm going to pray really quick and then I'll finish up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of truth. We thank you for your gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. May you open our eyes that we may see the wonderful things in your law. And I thank you again for this day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. While reading this passage over and over again, I couldn't help but think about what Gabriel was thinking. Here, God calls him, I don't know if God has an office, but calls Gabriel into his office and says, "Gabriel, I know you just got back from telling barren old Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, that they will have a son named John. But now I have another mission for you, another assignment. I want you to go to a young teenage virgin, and I want you to tell her that she will give birth to the Most High, the Son of God. Gabriel, I don't know if it was me, paused, say, okay, I can do that. And he exits the office of God, and he turns around maybe and says, are you sure this is what you want me to do? And God says, yes, this is what I want you to do. And so Gabriel flies or floats, or I don't know how angels get around, but Gabriel's going down to tell Mary, and as he's going, he's just got to be thinking, really, God, this is how you want to do it. This is the story you want to write. This is how it's going to be. I trust you, and you've never let me down before, but this doesn't seem like it's going to work out. This doesn't seem like it's right. Of course, we don't know what Gabriel was thinking. It's all conjecture on my part, but we do have a glimpse of Mary's heart, of maybe some of the things that she was thinking and some of the things that she was feeling. And in the first part of this passage, you have Gabriel announcing to Mary that she's the favored one, that she will give birth to Jesus' son. And if you're anything like me, if I put myself in Mary's shoes, I'd be, Gabriel, really? Me? I'm a no-name girl from a small town of Nazareth. You must have the wrong girl. This is not right. How could you possibly be me? How could it possibly be me? I'm not favored. And Gabriel reassures Mary, no, Mary, you are indeed. God's grace rests upon you. You are the one that he has chosen to bear his son. And Mary, I don't know if this leaves her more at ease. It doesn't seem to be, because her response is, how can this be? It seems like she's even more frustrated, more confused. How can this be? How does this work? Joe and I, we're not even married yet. I'm not from royal blood. You expect me to carry God's son? I don't think I can handle the weight of that burden. It just doesn't seem possible. How can this be, she says. And Gabriel says, do not be afraid, because God will do it. And if we're anything like Mary, we sit here in 2017 and we don't really have to pretend to know what Mary's thinking or know what Mary's feeling, because we all experience these doubts, these fears, this unrest, this uncertainty each and every day. In a city full of millions of people, we all struggle with the weight of loneliness. We look around and we say, I'm really nothing special. I'm just a dot. I'm just a speck in the grand scheme of things. Why would God care to love me? How could God love me? And we look around and say, does anybody actually care? And we wonder, does God actually care? And in the quietness of our thoughts, we even think, how could God love somebody as broken as me? How could God love somebody as sinful as me? And we don't say these things out loud, of course. It's not something that we often voice, but they are there, and they weigh on our hearts heavily. And like Mary, we are left thinking, how could this be? God, it doesn't make sense. How can it be? And of course, Gabriel, as I mentioned, reassures Mary and says, Mary, it's not up to you. It's not about you. This is what I'm doing. And he says, it's not you that are going to do it. It's my Holy Spirit that's going to overshadow you. It's my power that's going to make this power possible. And it's going to be possible because I make it possible, God says. And so this Christmas is a reminder that the birth of Jesus Christ is a promise that God does keep his promise. It's a sign that points us to somebody who says, you don't have to have life figured out. You don't have to have all the answers. I sent my son for those that don't have all the answers, for those that are broken and weary and tired and looking for hope. It's a reminder that this story is not a fantasy or a fairy tale, but it's actually true for each one of us. This Christmas, it's a chance for us to worship a God who came for the brokenhearted, who didn't leave us alone in our darkness and didn't cast us aside and say, no, I'm going to look for bigger and better things, but actually came to us in our need. This Christmas, it's a time for us to rejoice that the God who became weak and lowly came to lift up the weak and lowly and came to give rest to the brokenhearted. It's really a glorious time. I'm going to close with this final thought. And in reading this passage, I don't know, for many of you, especially with kids, you read things, or hopefully you read things daily in God's Word. And if you're anything like me, half the time you read something and you plan to read this amount of Scripture and you make it through the first couple bits, and then you spend most of your time thinking about something in those first couple bits and you didn't make it to the end. And the other half the time is you start reading and your son or your daughter wakes up before you might want them to, and you get sidetracked, and you never quite make it to the end. But since Chad gave me this whole passage, I thought I should probably get to the end. In verse 38, it's not in your order of worship. The final line of Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And that's a very beautiful ending, I feel, to this passage, because in that sentence, in that line from Mary, you have a woman, a girl, moving from trouble to trust, from doubt to dependence, from fear to faith. The first part of the passage is full of unrest. In the end of the passage, Mary's saying, "Lord, I trust you. Let it be to me according to your word." So a final question for you to think about as you go about your Christmas Eve and Christmas Day is, what are you filled with this morning? Are you filled with fear? Are you filled with faith? Do you trust the faithfulness of God that He came to die for you? Or do you not? Do you cling to the promise that nothing is impossible for God? Or do you not? Something for you guys to think about as you leave today. I'm going to close in prayer and then we can continue on. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for, again, your Son coming as a gift for us in the midst of our darkness. We just pray and hope that we can take some time in the next few days to focus on why it is that we celebrate this year. And I thank you again for your wonderful gift of Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name.